somehow a little unsteady, but still able. Thank God. As I prepared to come, I thought to myself, I'll bring some gift for all of you. And what better gift than the Word of God, you know? Here it is. Elder Cole has the stuff. And yesterday we distributed a number of packs of these at the Agape Fellowship last evening. Now, those of you who have not received, now is your chance. It's free of charge, except with a request for your responsibility to study. Okay. Please receive it from Calvary Pandan Bible Presbyterian Church in Singapore. Yes. Now, when everybody has got it, then I will tell you what is the meaning of this pack. Very good. Everybody has a packet now. You know, at first we thought of going to press. Firstly, to make the covers. And secondly, to print the little cards. And that would have taken at least during the New Year period, 2 or 3 weeks. So I thought maybe we can't do it. You know, we have in the church a very special servant of God called Jean. The office administrator, she said, no, don't worry, leave it to me. So she's produced the cards, as well as she found these 4-in-1 packet. I've never seen this before, have you? 4 packets in 1. Amazing. Then she said, you need the cover, I'll make the cover. So you find the front, Sydney. Wow, it's personalized to this church, so this cannot be reduplicated. It is special for this church, so treasure it. Now, how did I get the idea of cards of Bible verses? By the way, Maureen, you have one also. You take that to Holland and you learn it there. Yes. I tell you the story. In 1954, well, over 50 years ago, when I was Sunday school superintendent in Life Bible Presbyterian Church, I said that we'll give the students Bible memorization by cards. So we tried it. And we had approximately 100 cards, but we gave it 2 years for them to memorize. For your cards, you have 100 cards in 4 packs. Each pack will have 25, 4 times 25, 100 cards. And I'm giving you 2 years. Well, this is my own thinking. It depends on Elder Cole and your session here to decide how long. Okay? Now, if you have 2 years and 100 cards, it means what? 1 card per week. True? Yeah, more or less. We had it in Singapore in 1954, 1 year. And I said, give you 1 year to finish the 100 cards. And at the end of the year would come the grand prize. What was the grand prize? A Bible, Gold Age Bible. So the students all worked very hard to get the prize. The first one who came up to me was 4 months finished. So I'm giving you 2 years. You say, Too much time, maybe, I don't know. But you young brains, you should be able to do it. I find it a little hard going, but nevertheless, you know, God's word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, and it is better than thousands of gold and silver. It's up to you now. How are you going to memorize it? I leave it to Elder Cole and the session here to enthuse our people here. Firstly, I tell you, it is worth doing it. Number two, it's not easy. I'm not telling you that it is fun, you know, just... No, it is not for fun. It's for profit. When you know the Word of God is going to transform your life. Yes, the Word of God in your heart, I will hide it in my heart. And it is like a slow time bomb effect. Slowly transforms your whole life. You try it, take it and try it, and end of the time, I hope God will enable me to return to award you the prize. How about that? So you pray, and God willing, I will come again. But the cards are here. You must take some time. Now, as I said, I'm not trying to tell you it's very easy. It is not easy. I have been trying this past week. And by the way, I stay in a very wonderful place. I don't know, in some place. With Brother Victor and Sister Ruth. And every day I try morning and night, morning and night. I keep making mistakes. So, of course, I have the disadvantage of age. Take, for example, the first card you have. We just go through this one. Very easy. Very easy. This one, walk over for everybody. Genesis 1:1, the very first verse of the whole Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Wow, so good. You say, what's so good about it? You know why it says so good? Our greatest enemy today is what? Is evolutionism. People go to school, children, adults go to school, and the first thing they learn is, hey, you, everything came by chance, evolution. No, God says, it is such a foolish thing. It is totally impossible. And yet people want to believe it. In the beginning. Okay, can we all say it once or twice? Maybe twice. Are you ready? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Okay, ready? Once more, last time. After that, you go on your own. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. That settles it. Let the evolutionists say what they like. You know, there is nothing more stupid than the theory of evolution, that we could come from amoeba. You know what is amoeba? We are not here to talk about evolution, but I'm here to talk about meaning of life. Alright, switch on. Switch off evolution and switch off Genesis 1:1. Okay, ready? How's your life? Are you enjoying life? What is the meaning of life? When I was in Sydney some 20 odd years ago, one day I read in the Sydney Morning Herald, one of the high justices, a judge of the High Court, and his wife committed euthanasia. Do you know what is euthanasia? Pleasant way of dying. What happened? He was almost like the Chief Justice. Maybe he was. I don't know. But a judge and wife, both in good health and in good state of mind, decided to commit euthanasia. Some of you have never heard of this term before. It is a new term. Pleasant way to die. What did they do? One night, they both agreed. Now, I'm not giving you any hints or any ideas, you know. They both agreed. They wrote letters to their four children. They were a very happy couple, happy family. But they decided that they cannot face the problems of this life. The stresses and strains are too much for them, and they don't know anything about the future, about heaven and hell. Ah, dear friends, and they decided euthanasia. Is that a solution? Yes, in the sense that they cannot face tomorrow. They cannot face the future. They don't know what's going to happen. So they thought, the best thing, wife and me, we both go. So they did. They took the pills, and the next morning they were found dead in bed. How about that? Did they solve the problem? Answer is, what do you think? Of course not. The Word of God says, as it is appointed to every man to die, whether you do euthanasia or die normally, naturally, there is a day coming for judgment. So they face the judgment. So that is how one person, one couple, solved their life problem. They could not face life. Now, anyone here in that situation, please come and talk to me afterwards. So I'll tell you how to solve the problems of life. God can help you. Now, there's one example. What is life to you? What does it mean to you? Are you enjoying your life? We've read in Ecclesiastes. What is Ecclesiastes? You know what is Ecclesiastes? The name? The name merely means a preacher. It is the book of the preacher. It's a book written by a preacher who went through life, and then he had experienced life, and his name was a great name. Do you know his name? Solomon, the king. So after a judge, we talk of a king. How he solved the life's problem. And we've read in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, right? We all read it just now. He was a king, son of David, and he was king of the most powerful and the richest regime or country in all history. Never before, never after. So rich, so powerful in that time. Of course, not now, but at that time. All the countries around paid homage. And this king was called Solomon. Now, what are we talking about? He wanted to find the meaning of life. This is what we are here to talk about. Is there meaning to life? What is the meaning of life? What are we living here for? Solomon said to himself, I want to find out. And the way he tried to find out was this. He, being the king, he could do anything he wanted. And he tried everything he thought of that he wanted to do to try to see whether it would satisfy him. He tried and found no satisfaction. Whether he is a king or a pauper, that kind of life never gave any kind of satisfaction. So that's what made him write Ecclesiastes. What does the first chapter say? You turn there. We'll just refer to it briefly, very briefly, very quickly. Then he says, whatever I did, verse 1, words of the preacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. What did he say? Vanity of vanities. What is vanity? Emptiness. You do something, you think you're going to get a lot of satisfaction. When it's finished, you say, hey, why did I do it? It's so totally rubbish. I never get any satisfaction from it. So he tried everything. He says he had the biggest and best palace. After building the whole thing, he says, no satisfaction. It only cost me a lot of labor and money, and in the end, sorrow. Everything else he did brought him the same result. What was his conclusion? Vanity of vanities. Now, please, as I've mentioned this to you, this vanity of vanities is qualified, you know, is qualified to life and endeavors under the sun. Please follow. Do you get that idea? It is qualified. Everything you do under the sun. What do you mean by under the sun? This gives you the clue. Why whatever you do under the sun is vanity, is empty, is useless, frustrating. What is under the sun? Have you puzzled it out? Answer: it is in the solar system. What is the solar system? You know, there are 9 planets that go around the sun. Supposing this is a sun, this is a thing, the sun. There are 9 planets going, whirling around the sun. And planet Earth happens to be one of the 9 going round and round. How long does it take to make one round? 365 1/4 days, right? Yeah. And you live this life under the sun in this whirling around. In the end, no matter what you do, whether you're rich or poor, king or beggar, it ends up in the grave. And what is there to reward you? Solomon says, if it is under the sun, nil. Frustrating. Vanity. Vanity of vanities. Now, we will find the same thing when you read this. You say, amen. There is no escape. Why? You are under the sun. So, this gives you a clue. If you want to get satisfaction, you must get out of the circuit of the sun. Get away. Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the way. I am the way to get out of this circuit of the sun. Do you follow? This is the reason why we are here to study how to follow Jesus. Because he takes us out of this orbit around the sun. On this earth, you have to go around the sun. If it is just under the sun, it will be frustrating. You all end up in the grave, and then the justice who committed euthanasia, you say, that's right. He did the right thing, you know. If there is only life under the sun, why worry? Take your pill, go happily, euthanize yourself, and you go. All right. The king, the judge. Finally, I give you another man called Moses. Who was Moses? Do you know? You like to see what he says. Turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Verse 10. Alright. How is your life? How are you enjoying your life? Are you plodding along? Or do you have something good to talk about this life? Alright, verse 10. Are you there? We are on Psalm 90, verse 10. We're talking about how a judge settled his problem by euthanasia. We talk about the king. And he says, if it is in this earthly circuit, is vanity of vanities. You must get out of this circuit. Number three, now we are talking of the greatest leader of men who ever lived. Who is it? Moses. What did he say? Verse 10. Psalm 90, verse 10. Are you there? I'm going to read. He says, the days of our years are 70 years. 70 years meaning 70. So Moses is stating a truth that has lasted, I would say, practically 3,500 years. Mankind's lifespan has not increased much, you know, in all these 3,500 years. At that time, he says, I observed the lifespan of my people. He led them for 40 years. How many people were there? 2 million. Where? Out of Egypt into the promised land. And he wrote this psalm, Moses. What did he say? The days of a year are 70 years. Now, how do you enjoy your years? What is your age? And how many more years do you have on earth to enjoy this life? I ask you, young man, yeah, you were baptized this morning, young lady, how many more years? You middle-aged people, all right, you're 40, you say, life begins at 40. I still have a lot of time ahead of me. You think so? You never know. But please understand, time flies. Very soon, you'll be 70 years. What does this verse say? And if by reason of strength, your good health, you got good strength, and you live to 80. How many are 80? I've passed 80. How many of you are 80? I can see here, probably, possibly, one or two, possibly. Maybe not, I don't know. But doesn't matter. If you reach 80, you gain 10 more above 70. What did you gain? Do you know? Do you know? You say, wow, long life is good, isn't it? Chinese all want to wish each other at New Year time. Live long, live long, live forever, live long. No, you gain 10 more years. Moses say you gain nothing more than labor and sorrow. Please understand. So, living long is not the solution. Long life is not the solution. I've lived so long, I'm not anxious to live long, long time. People ask me, hey, I'm praying for you to... I say, please stop praying. I'm not anxious to live here for a long time. They say, please continue. I say, you know, you increase my labor and sorrow only. This is what it is. True? Yes. Yes, you go walking, you do anything you do, take double time. You say, you do the same things? Yes. I wear my shoes double time. Normal, 10 seconds. Now, 10 minutes. Terrible, terrible. So, what do you gain? Labor and sorrow. Please understand. This is the wisest of men, the greatest leader of all time, Moses. And he says, let me tell you, this is not the solution to life. Long life is not the solution. What must you have? Answer? Everlasting life. Everlasting life in Jesus Christ is the only solution. No other solution. Right? Agree? And that is the life that takes you out of the earth circuit around the, under the sun, going round and round, and 365 and a quarter days, one more year, one more year, one more circuit, one more year. That's kind of mad whirling around. No more. You must get out of the circuit of the sun. Okay, so we have now, who can take us out of the circuit of this sun, around whirling around the sun? Now we come to the real crunch. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. The only one who can get us out of this deadly circuit under the sun, under the sun. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Okay, this is we're coming to the real meaning of life. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, the last three verses, 28, 29, 30. And then we conclude. I know my time is exceeding, but today we had Lord's Supper and baptism and a long-winded preacher. So I'm sorry, but we have to go through it. Okay, are you there? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. You read with me, verses 28, 29, 30. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Herein is the solution to the labor and sorrow, to the vanity of vanities that King Moses says, and to the vanity of vanities that King Solomon says, right? Each one has no solution. You ask Solomon, what is your solution? No solution. You ask the judge of the high court, he says, euthanasia, take a double dose, you go to sleep and then you sleep forever. Oh, you know, you only sleep for the judgment to come. So what is the solution? The judge cannot give you. King Solomon cannot give you. Moses tells you, yes, you live long, you only get labor and sorrow. That cannot, no solution. It's only a diagnosis, you know. I speak as a doctor. You go to the doctor, you want diagnosis plus treatment. It's no use to tell me the diagnosis, but no treatment. Here is the treatment. Where is the treatment? Matthew chapter 11. "Come unto me," Jesus says. You want to get out of the orbit of the sun? Under the sun, only vanity of vanities. When you come to me, Jesus says, I will give you rest. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, you'd ask me, hey, what is rest? Rest is freedom from that daily grind of labor and sorrow that you have to go through. Don't hope for long life, please. I don't advise euthanasia, but I say don't hope for long life. I don't say you live anyhow and die, you know, or take risk and just die. No. We must be careful. We must live well. We must serve the Lord. But there is a solution to the vanity of vanities. There is a solution to the labor and sorrow. Yes. Vanity of vanities, labor and sorrow, all these are no good. You must have something better. That something better is, Jesus says, rest. I give you rest. Here it is. I read to you again. "Come unto me," Jesus says. You people who are still outside, who still do not want to believe in Jesus, this is the solution to your life problem. Do you have that problem? Do you have that problem? Answer is yes. All born of Adam and Eve, we are endowed with that problem. It's a life problem. No matter what you do, it's labor and sorrow. Vanity of vanities. Come to Jesus. Jesus says, come to me. Believe in me. Believe in me as your Savior to die for you, to take you out of your sinful state and everlasting death coming your way. This is the meaning of the gospel. Verse 29. "Take my yoke upon you." What is to take Jesus' yoke? Follow him, the way of the cross. Of course, you cannot die on the cross for anybody's sin, nor for your own sin. But when you follow Jesus, you follow the discipline and the teachings of Jesus. That is his yoke. It is a discipline. Yes. You got to follow him. And concluding verse 30. Dear friends, come to Jesus. And it says here, my yoke is easy. When you come to Jesus, he bears your yoke for you. He bears your burdens for you. He takes away your sin burden. The biggest burden we all have is the sin burden. Of course, you know it yourself. I know it myself. And when the preacher preached, when I was 10 years old, I said, yes, I want to be saved. Do you know your sin? Come to Jesus. So, what is the solution to man's problem? To make life hopeful. Plenty of hope. Amazing hope. Everlasting hope. Everlasting life. Everlasting rewards. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, bless your people who have heard the gospel today, to know that our Lord Jesus came but for that one purpose, that is to take away our sins and to give us rest. Rest from our struggles, rest from our burdens of sin. Oh Lord, help us that we will go forth to be your servants to tell the good news, that we may burn out for thee, O Lord, as good witnesses. This is our prayer, asking your blessing on all who have heard the word of God and the message and the invitation. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there is a song sheet. We gave that out. We are going to sing number 2. Let me burn out for thee. Those of you who know Jesus, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. The light. You and me are candles for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what is a candle? I speak slowly now. Do you know what is a candle? A candle is a dead thing. It's got a wick, it's got wax. You keep it in a drawer, it's always there. What must you do with the candle? What must you do with your candle? Light it. Let me burn out for thee. Okay, number 2. You be a good candle for Jesus Christ. Let me burn out for thee, dear Lord. Burn and wear out for thee. Don't let me rust on my life be a failure, my God, to thee. Well, let's arise and then we sing this twice. Let me burn out for thee.
Let me burn out for thee, dear Lord. Burn and wear out for thee. Don't let me rust or my life be a failure, my God, to thee. Use me in all I have, dear Lord, and draw me so close to thee, that I feel the throb of the great heart of God. Oh, let me burn out for thee. Second time, last time. Let me burn out for thee, dear Lord. Burn and wear out for thee. Don't let me rust or my life be a failure, my God, to thee. Use me in all I have, dear Lord, and draw me so close to thee, that I feel the throb of the great heart of God. Oh, let me burn out for thee.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, We thank Thee for sending us Thy Son, our Lord Jesus, who came to be the example and to be the Savior for us. And He has shown us the way, and He says, go and be My witnesses. O Lord, may this come true in our lives, that we will repay our gospel debt by telling others. O Lord, bless Your people, dismiss us with the blessing, the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with all Thy people, now and forevermore. Amen.